Praise ye the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adeomi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. I want you to listen very closely to the message I have for you today in the radio land. I want to talk about the hope of we believers so that it will gear you up to prepare for the Lord's coming, and also for that you should begin to look up if you are not already looking up, or keep looking up because Jesus Christ is coming soon. We call it the rapture of the saints. It's taking up of the faithful believers before the end will come. It's called the rapture. We find the reference of this by the letters of Apostle Paul, where he described this episode that will take place before the Lord Jesus Christ come in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is a teaching. So if you have your Bible, please take it and read it along so that you may prepare yourself for the Lord's coming. As you see it plainly written in the scriptures, how the Lord will come to take his own up to heaven in a physical translation, we call it, before the world will be destroyed. You remember when God destroyed the world in the days of Noah, he made a preparation for Noah to escape it. The righteous will be protected. Now, in the end time, the Bible said this world also is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly. But before God can do that, he has to prepare how his own people that are serving him, the true believers, how they are going to escape. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Apostle Paul listed what will happen to us. In chapter 4, beginning from verse 13, after Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," that is concerning those brethren that have died, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We have preached already about resurrection, that those who died will be resurrected at the last day. But this that he is talking about now is on top of that. That is not the resurrection of the just and the unjust in the last day of judgment. But this is an earlier thing that will happen to the believers. Even the dead in Christ that will rise first. And let's read on in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." I pause again. Now he was saying God is going to bring them with him, which means they are with God right now. But that is wherever the dead in Christ are, which we call paradise, is a location in the spirit world where God sees them, and the Lord Jesus Christ can go there. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in paradise, he's in a different location, because he went up with his body into the sky, which means the location where Christ is, which is the heaven where God's throne is higher than the location where these dead saints, the spirits of the dead saints, or the souls of the dead saints are located. And you will see, I will point to that again in the book of Revelation for you to know that there is a different locality. However, Christ can appear among them anytime he wants to. And that is why Apostle Paul is saying when Christ is coming back, he's going to bring them with him. That is, he's going to first bring them, their souls, back into their body. And this is what he was saying. Verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, let me stop there again and explain this. Now, when Apostle Paul wrote this, he believed that he was still going to be alive by the time this thing would take place. Because many of the believers in the first church age, they were expecting the Lord to come, because he said, "I'm coming soon." So they were thinking he was going to come in their time, in their lifetime. So Apostle Paul was writing this thinking this will happen in his lifetime. That was why he said, "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are already asleep." Now let's read on in verse 16. Say, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, if you have listened to the sermon where we talk about the resurrection, we pointed out the fact that the patriarchs, they purposely asked that their body be buried where they wanted it to be buried, where their fathers are buried. Because when they know that, they believe that there was going to be resurrection of their body, and they don't want to resurrect and be among those whom they never knew. So they wanted to be among their own relatives so that they would be able to recognize one another when they suddenly wake up from the dust on the last day of resurrection. Now, the same, similar to King Apostle Paul was saying, the dead in Christ shall rise first. However, in this case, they are not just going to be looking around looking for whom they know. Because in verse 17, he said, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now remember this, is the Lord is already up in the sky and is coming from the heavens and is going to stand in the air and call the dead, those dead saints that are sleeping in the dust that the physical have. They will suddenly wake up from the dust. You say, what about their bones that are rotting? Well, the bones will turn back. When we talk about resurrection, we preached that God has the power to raise those bones back to life. That was why the graves will be open. There will be like a form of an earthquake for all those that are buried deep under the ground, and the graves will be open. Those bones will just pop out of the brain of the graves, and then they will join together and the flesh will come upon them with the twinkling of an eye. And they will rise up and the spirits will come upon them. Their spirits will be called back by God into their bodies. And they will rise up. But before you know it, they are caught up into the sky the same day. And those Christians, born-again believers, those who are alive, that were not there, that were alive in that generation when this will happen, we also will change suddenly and be caught up to go and meet the Lord. How will this thing happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit is already preparing. That is why the Holy Spirit is given to every believer. If you that is listening to me, you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to pray. And you need to ask God for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has to be resident in you, number one, for all these things to take place. Because it is the Spirit of God that will quicken that mortal body. Even those that are dead, that are going to be resurrected, the power of the Holy Ghost that was already in them before they died, that we rejuvenate the bones, and we bring the bones together by supernatural power and bring the flesh back into them, and then their spirit come into them, and then they will go up. The same way the Holy Spirit in we believers that are alive until that time will quicken the mortal body and change it to the point that you can disappear and go up without any gravity pulling us down. That is what we are talking about. If you jump up, naturally, the gravity on earth will pull you down. But when the Holy Ghost quickens the mortal body, the body will be like light, and the gravity will not be able to pull it down. And that is what the Holy Spirit is giving to us to walk, that walk in our physical body also. Through the Spirit of God, through our own spirit, we will be quickened. Now, this is what Apostle Paul wrote. That was the first appearance of this experience and episode that was written for us. Now, this is what the believers call rapture, and this is called translation of the body, where our body will be taken up physically to go and meet the Lord in the air. And let me read it again so that you will understand what I'm saying. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 said again, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, remember this, we that are alive, that remain unto that time, and we are caught up, physically taken out of this planet, to go and meet the Lord in the air, there will be no more physical death for us. It was immortality granted to the saints that are alive. Then those who are resurrected, they were given a new body that is immortal, that will never die anymore. But we that are alive, that are quickened and translated, we are given a body by supernatural change that will be immortal also, that will never die anymore. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, quick, it says, comfort ye one another with these things. This is a good comfort for the saints, because when they think that their dead loved ones have died and gone away and people are sorrowful. But if you know that their spirit and soul go to a place of rest, but they are going to come back one day, then you have to rejoice that they're going to come back, and that body that you put in the grave is going to come out again and live in a body that is never going to die again, and they're going to live it. So if they are believers, of course, that will also happen after another time. In the end of time, there will be that for all the dead. Even wicked people also will be resurrected, but they are going to stand again before God for judgment, to be thrown into the lake of fire. But that will be later. But this resurrection of the believers is the one that is called resurrection, the first resurrection. Let me point to it also in the book of Revelation. Because from the mouth of two witnesses, God always tries to confirm his word in two places, so that it will be confirmed that this thing will really take place, at least at the mouth of two witnesses. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, also described the episode of the first resurrection, he called it. In chapter 20, verse 4, this is to point to the fact that what I just described, that we call rapture, where he said the dead in Christ will rise first, which is called a resurrection. Apostle John, in the book of Revelation chapter 20, also described the same thing. In verse 4 and verse 5, here I read, he said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now that is what I just described to you, that Apostle Paul described in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the first resurrection. The dead in Christ being resurrected first, before anything else. It is the dead in Christ that resurrect first. And Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, I just read to you here in chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, described the people that are going to be given that blessing to resurrect in the first resurrection. He said those who have been witnesses for Jesus, they were killed for their witness. They lived for Christ and they died for Christ. Their souls were beheaded, whatever. The people of God were mourning, more sorrowful because we were persecuted. So they will be resurrected first. And then they will live with Christ for 1,000 years on this planet and reign on this planet for 1,000 years in their physical body that is resurrected. That is what Apostle Paul just described it. And in verse 6 of that Revelation chapter 20, it says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. Let me read that again. It says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. Now, that is exactly what we are trying to make you to understand, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, and the first resurrection will be for the saints. And now, why has it been delayed? Now, let's read on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Apostle Paul went further to explain to us why some of these things look like he's been delayed. It's not delayed. God is taking his time. so that many more, if it has taken place during the time of the first apostles, people who are like us that have not been born then will have missed or even missed the living. Because it is from God created human beings to live on this planet, and He knows all of us that were not even born then, and we were somewhere, our spirit was somewhere, and He wants us to come and live here so that we can be part of the saints until He gets the number of all that He has purposed. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul went further and said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So it's coming like a thief in the night, suddenly. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others." So Apostle Paul is exhorting us that we must not sleep like other people are sleeping. We must be awake to be expecting this Lord coming. We must be awake to be expecting the Lord coming. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, in a moment. Let's go again and talk about some of the things Apostle Paul also exhorted us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about this rapture. When he wrote this to the Thessalonians, the news was spreading like wildfire. Wow, this thing is going to take place. So all the apostles, all the disciples in that generation, they started being excited, very excited that the Lord is coming. This is how it's going to take place. We are going to disappear. We are going to go meet Him in the air. And the excitement and the jubilation make them to almost begin to prepare as if it's going to happen, or it was going to happen very soon in their time. And Apostle Paul went in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to explain it further, so that they will not be carried away. Because when people are so carried away, they started selling their houses and selling their property and trying to get out of jobs and say, "Well, I don't think I need to go and work anymore. The Lord is coming soon." No, you have to take it easy, because Apostle Paul went further and said, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," that is what they have told you in the previous letter, "and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, what was Apostle Paul talking about? Apostle Paul was telling us that this thing we told you, the first resurrection and the taking away of the sins, that will not take place until there will be a falling away from God by the men upon the earth. The Antichrist, the government of the world, will rage up against God. And some ruler that has been ruling the world in that time, will just rise up and say, "He is God Himself, and everybody should worship Him." And that is what he is describing here, that there will be complete departure from God and from anything that is called godly in the world before this thing takes place. And as long as there is still some good people and people are still being allowed to serve God in their way and so on, look like the time is not yet. But when the ruler of the world will rise up and compel everybody to worship Him as God and say there is no other God anywhere except Him, then we know that the end is near. That is what Apostle Paul is describing. And he described that this man of sin, which we now call Antichrist, was also prophesied in the book of Revelation chapter 13. Because everything Apostle Paul was describing to us here was also confirmed by a vision that was given to Apostle John in the book of Revelation chapter 13, where he also said this Antichrist will mark the whole world. Let me read that also to you as a confirmation. Like I said, at the mouth of two witnesses, God always confirms His word. So So we saw it in the letters of Apostle Paul, and Apostle John also wrote it in the book of Revelation, that at the end there will be this Antichrist that will wage war against the saints and that will persecute the saints of God. And it was actually Satan that is using this Antichrist. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, you can read the whole chapter later. But however, I will just point to some few things that will be taking place at the end of times, which is part of the package of these things to bring the world to an end. That's when a ruler will rise up, that will do all those terrible things, and it will also be allowed to persecute those who are Christians before the rapture and after the rapture. Because you see that in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13, there will be a serious persecution for those who don't believe that Antichrist is to be worshipped. That's why they call him beast. Let me read from chapter 13, verse 1. It said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of bear. And he went on himself in verse 4. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. The old people on the earth are worshiping this beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And verse 5 said, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months, people have assumed that's 3.5 years. So it's like the last 3.5, 7 years of the world, which will be a different sermon. I'm just pointing to what this Antichrist will do. And the Bible said in verse 6 that this ruler is a ruler of the world. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Saints means that the believers, the Christians are still on the earth during that time, and he will make war with the saints, meaning there will be persecution. And to overcome them, many people will be killed by this ruler of the world, the police arresting them because these people don't want to worship this ruler. And this power was given on him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, which means this ruler will be ruling the whole world, all kindreds, all tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth, in verse 8, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this is a parallel example of what Apostle Paul was talking about, that the day will not come until there will be falling away for us, where this man of sin will say, he is God, and they should worship him. And Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 and 6 and 7 said, this Antichrist will be given power to rule over all the world and to blaspheme God and blaspheme anything that is called God and blaspheme all the people that are in heaven. And verse 8 says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship this Antichrist if their name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. So we know that the Christians that are here will not worship him, they will reject it. When we say Christians, they're not just everyone that go to church. That's why we want you to understand that to be a Christian are people that are ready to stand for Christ. That you have declared that Christ is your Lord and Christ is the only Savior. And Christ is your Lord and Savior. During that time, there will be a test. When this ruler of the world say he is God, that the people should worship him, and the rest of unbelievers will accept it, and all those false religion will accept it and say that must be their God. But those who believe the Bible, those who have been born again, those who are Christians, we know that that is the Antichrist that was preached, prophesied that will come. And they will refuse to worship, and that's why the police will be arresting them, and there will be persecution. Many will be killed in that time. But within that same time is when Christ shall come and take those who are still alive, who are still waiting, to take them away from the earth in this rapture we are talking about. That's why Apostle Paul said, we that are alive and remain. Because when the persecution is taking place, people are being arrested, people are being killed, some people are running into the jungle, hiding somewhere, then Christ appear and take those Christians away. So it looks like it's going to be in the middle of all those crises that Christ will come and take his own people away. And I will give you another example here in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where it was also described in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, how this will take place, this rapture we talk about, the taking away. And we see it in chapter 12, verse verse 5, where Apostle John also said in another symbology that the woman clothed with the sun in chapter 12 was symbolizing the church. And he has a baby that was to be born, which is symbolizing the people that are going to go away in the rapture. And the great power of God that are going to be major ministers of the gospel that are praying and traveling for God. And God is building them up as the first fruits and the sons of God. Now in chapter 12, verse 5 of the book of Revelation, the Bible said, this woman, symbolizing the church, brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now that being caught up is a symbol of being raptured, taken out of this planet. That is the child. But the woman herself was still on this earth after the child was taken up. Because in verse 6 of chapter 12, it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. Now, 1,203 score days, if you take it as literary days, that also symbolizes like 3.5 years. Okay? Now, then there was war where the devil in the spirit now was fighting and the devil was cast out. There was spiritual war that took place. And then after that, the Bible said that the devil went and waged war against those who are left that are still believing God, which you see in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 12. You see, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And that persecution, the woman fled into the wilderness, like the Bible said, to be protected. Now, verse 15 said, the serpent cast out out of his mouth water as a flood. That's like trouble. There will be trouble against the church, against the believers anywhere. And then verse 16 said, the earth swallowed up that trouble. Now, verse 17 said, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is the persecution that we are talking about, that will be worldwide against anyone that is still believing God, that is still claiming the faith, the witness of Christ Jesus. They will be persecuted for a season before the Lord finally do something else again. So we see two examples of stories happening here. A sudden disappearance of the first fruits. I call them first fruits in the book of the chapter 12, verse 5. It was the first fruits, but the general rapture has not taken place. Then, while the persecution was going on, while that woman was hiding in the wilderness, there was something else to take place, which I have preached and believe that is the general rapture for the saints, where all those that are hiding everywhere will be and is dead in Christ will be resurrected for us to be taken away. So I'm just pointing to the fact that there are several things that are taking place that are prophesied here in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So you can see that this rapture will take place. Whether we like it or not, it will take place. And the Bible has prophesied it. And we see examples of that in the scriptures. An example of how it happened. It happened to Elijah the prophet. It happened to Enoch in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Verse 21 and 20 to 24. Also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, mentioned that Enoch walked with God and God took him away. So for us to please God, we must also walk with God and God will take us away in the rapture. Praise the Lord. Now, what I've described so far is talking about this thing will take place. How do we prepare? What should we be doing to make ourselves ready? I'm going to talk about that
in the next broadcast.
I want you to write to me and I will send you some literature that will be edifying to you. If you have access to the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistribution.org. You have to spell that one out, gospeldistribution.org. Gospel distribution is one word. www.gospeldistribution.org. And you can send us email on the internet. Our email address is webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. And you can also read all our literature on the internet freely. God bless you, and we'll see you again next time. In Jesus' name.